Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Monday morning. Packers win 30-14 to drop the Titans to 0-3 at Nissan Stadium yesterday. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our man Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. So, PK, I'll just turn it over to you. Malik Willis, 13-19, 202 yards, a touchdown through the air, another 73, and a touchdown on the ground. Titans get destroyed by the Packers. They've dropped to 0-3. What do you make of that one yesterday, and what do you make of just the debacle that was the Tennessee Titans to begin this season?
I mean, first off, an excellent, excellent performance by Malik Willis. Far better than I ever thought I would see. Average yards per attempt, you know, like 4 yards better than Levis. Great game plan by LaFleur, executed superbly. You know, and some of that stuff's happening before they get the run game going, really. I think Ernest Jones said it best. He said that statistical stuff about our defense was bleep. You know, we play good defense when it doesn't mean much, and at the moments that it means a lot, we don't play good defense. And, you know, that's a bad defensive performance. No turnovers in three games by an allegedly good defense, and by that quarterback is really weak. And that the offense can't match Malik Willis, you know, is a massive, massive indictment. So congratulations to Green Bay on that. And that's a huge stain, I think, on the Titans right now.
What does it all mean, PK? What does it all mean? How low is this? Who needs to be fired, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's getting fired. And I think it means, you know, the verdict on what they're doing is not coming for a while. It's a slower process that requires more patience than any of us wanted to grant them. But it's certainly not any good anytime soon. They've got another backup quarterback coming up. I don't know what Skylar Thompson's status is. Tim Boyle's one of the worst. I mean, I said Malik Willis is the worst backup quarterback in the league. Tim Boyle, you know, another one who's horrific. You know, it's hard to imagine them going to Miami, no matter who's playing quarterback, and matching up with those receivers. I don't really understand what's going on with offense, why you choose, after you sign a guy for the money that you chose to spend on Calvin Ridley, why you're throwing a deep ball to double-team Treylon Burks, who the verdict is in on. They couldn't run. They only had the ball for 10 minutes in the first half, which is really on the defense. But I mean, all they can do is go back to the drawing board. That's too cliche. Yeah, they just have to get back to work. And I mean, the root cause of all of this.
Got a coach better, got to play better, PK.
Root cause of all of this is, you know, if you could pick one thing to fix, it's the pass protection. They don't have the players to do it, but they have a coach who's done it with bad players before. And Bill Callahan's got to get to work and figure out something, particularly on the right side. I don't think Petit Frere's showing up there again anytime soon. So it's a big week for Jalen Duncan to get pounded on by his coach and to figure out a way to be better than what they've been doing over there.
Real fast, are you sure about that? Because, man, he was actually worse than Petit Frere. I mean, in a very small sample size, but – my goodness, are you sure they're going to go roll with Duncan?
No, I'm not sure, but I thought that's what Brian Callahan kind of indicated in his answer post game when I asked him, you know, is what's next at right tackle, and I thought he said JD. You know, I thought he pretty much said JD. But I mean, they've got to figure out something over there, and it wasn't. I mean, everybody partook in the problems there. You know. Callahan, big Callahan, has, you know, the magic hasn't happened in the first three games. That doesn't make him a bad offensive line coach. It makes him an offensive line coach who doesn't have good enough players and needs time to maximize what he has. and you hope that's coming sooner rather than later, but you have no reason to believe it is.
So, PK, it wasn't a backhanded underhand flip out of bounds that ended up in a pick six. It wasn't a bowling ball roll to Tajay Spears, but it was another pick six for Will Levis yesterday to Jair Alexander on a route that he just set back, read the whole way, and immediately picked off. Overall, what did you make of that play? What did you make of Will Levis's day yesterday?
Yeah, they're kind of dismissive of that pick. Both Brian Callahan and Will Levis were like, well, that was just a regular interception, you know. So score him up, because it wasn't an incredibly dumb play. I mean, he stared him down from the start, and Alexander was, you know, very clearly ready to go there. You've got to look away from that play. So it's a bad play against an all-pro caliber cornerback. Levis was better. I mean, he put up better numbers. And in the second half, he's getting sacked 7 out of 8 times. I don't think you can pass much judgment on Levis. I mean, he's under an extreme attack. So there wasn't much he could do. I don't think it was much of a quarterback rating game. I think it was an offensive line rating game. He made a couple throws. Hopkins got going, which was an encouraging thing. But, you know, I don't think when Hopkins gets going, it means that Ridley has to disappear. So just so much to work on. But again, the root cause, so many things went wrong yesterday, but the root cause of everything, if you pick one thing to start with, it's pass protection, and that's been the answer to that question for too long.
So tons of I did want to go back to that, because there's just tons of, you know, suggestions and complaints and things like that, as you can imagine, PK, on the text line. I'm seeing a lot of, you know, Skoronski was a left tackle in college and they never should have moved him. And my answer to that is, guys, if you're watching him play left guard right now and you think that he could make it as a left tackle in the NFL right now, I don't know what to tell you. Tons of college linemen are left tackles who then go into the NFL and play other positions. It's usually the best player on your team in college plays left tackle, and then a lot of those guys go on to right tackle, they play guard or whatever. I dismiss that out of hand, but I talked earlier, PK, about what about like Raiden's pumping out and then you bring in Brunskill at right guard. I mean, I think that might, it doesn't sound great, but I mean, I just don't see an answer among those two guys right now at right tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to roll through their right tackles before they're going to start taking people who are on the offensive line in other positions and move them. But I don't know. I would think that everything is an option. I don't think that Skoronski to tackle is an option. I mean, these are two regimes that, including Bill Callahan, who's a very good, very experienced offensive line coach, who have determined that Skoronski is a guard. And they determined that Skoronski is a guard very quickly. They didn't say, we're going to come in and we're going to play around with him and put him at a couple different positions and determine if he's a guard. I mean, they had determined he was a guard, in the spring before they were on the field. You know, at the owners' meetings, they said he was a guard. At the combine, they might have said he was a guard. So I wouldn't count on him moving to tackle. You just have to come to terms with some things. In the potential answers, that's not one.
So, PK, last week, Jeffrey Simmons says nobody runs the ball in the Tennessee Titans, and then Green Bay puts up 188 yards on the ground against the Tennessee Titans. I guess my question for you is, like, where is Simmons and this defense in big moments where they need him? If you look at their numbers right now, other than not forcing turnovers, they played well on defense through the first 3 weeks from a numbers, a yardage allowed standpoint. But big moments, it seems like every time they need a big play, they just don't make it.
Yeah, they gave up a 3rd and 18 and a 3rd and 14,
yep,
which is absolutely sinful. Jeffrey Simmons says nobody runs on Tennessee Titans, and yesterday he said, well, all the runs were to the perimeter. So we know where Jeffrey Simmons doesn't line up. He doesn't line up on the perimeter. So, Jeffrey Simmons has an answer for everything to make sure we know that it doesn't involve him. So I think, you know, that's getting old. I don't know, you know, I don't know where Jeffrey Simmons makes more plays in that game. I just know that if Jeffrey Simmons is what Jeffrey Simmons thinks he is and what the Tennessee Titans think he is, he's got to find some plays in that game. He's got to make some plays in that game. And last week, Tracy Rocker, the defensive line coach, was saying, well, you know, I need some plays out of Sweat, out of Coburn, out of Lynch. And I was thinking, how about out of Simmons? Are we not allowed to say that you want some plays out of Simmons? I mean, he's good, trending towards okay, but he's nowhere near elite right now. And so teams don't run up the middle. They great. The Titans, you know, I don't know. I think Simmons thinks that they somehow get a win in the column because teams don't run the ball up the middle. But if they can run freely around the corners, who cares? Like, where they run doesn't matter. That they run matters. And they certainly ran yesterday and broke tackles on runs, on screens, on everything, and set things up. I mean, as a Packers fan, that must have been amazing to watch.
And a lot of them in the stadium, by the way, yesterday.
Oh,
PK.
My God. I thought, listen, opposing fans flood that stadium on a regular basis. I don't know that it's ever been like it was yesterday. They're usually lower deck. You know, they come and they get premium stuff. Yesterday, there was a lot of green and gold in the upper deck. And they were more audible, I think, than any time. Maybe I've got some recency bias, but they were more audible than I can remember a visiting fan base being.
So in light of that, as I asked you a week ago, if this team loses to Malik Willis, the low point, how low is that point? How does it compare? Now that it's happened the way it happened, how do you just assess this franchise right now?
Well, until the Jaguars and or the Bengals lose tonight, they're the only 0-3 team in the league. And even if one of those teams or both lose tonight, I think they've got to qualify as the worst team in football right now based on the way they've played. You know, Bengals almost won in Kansas City. Maybe the Jaguars would be even with them, but it's bad. They're at the bottom. They've got a lot of climbing to do. Now, does that mean you lose complete faith three games into a rebuilding season with so much newness? I don't feel that way, but I understand fans' frustration. They expected more out of a team that added a lot of veteran help that on paper looks good. And what's on paper and what's on grass do not match up right now, and it's incredibly disappointing and frustrating to see. And they're not getting any benefit of the doubt. The honeymoon period is definitely over.
Well said. PK, thanks for being with us. Really looking forward to having you in on Wednesday to continue to break it down, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, boys.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com, our guest, joins us every Monday morning at 7:30 and every Wednesday really from 7:30 to 9 here on the program as well. We've got the Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.